I want you to imagine this scene. Jesus and his disciples jump in a boat and they're headed across the Sea of Galilee. They're headed to the, as scripture would say, to the other side of the lake. The reason that they're headed to the other side is because what just happened is Jesus just cast demons out of a man and into a herd of pigs. The man was very excited about it. The pigs were not. And more than that, the owners of the pigs, they were not excited. So as this would happen a lot of times, Jesus does a great thing, but kind of the people will turn, and so they're running them out. They jump in the boat. They're going to the other side. But here's what's happening. People are beginning to hear what Jesus has been doing. They've been hearing stories about what's going on. So what happens? He goes to the other side of the lake, and they're waiting on him. A large crowd, a massive crowd, is gathering around him and the disciples. They're pushing, they're pressing, they're reaching to get to him. They just want to be close to him. The one who has this kind of power and the one who has this kind of authority. And Mark, who, by the way, this is Mark the evangelist, also referred to as John Mark in the book of Acts, as you see that. Mark is writing this. And in the midst of this chaos, Mark introduces us to a woman. He doesn't even give us her name, but he gives us her condition. This is what Mark begins to write. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Can you imagine 12 years? Some of you can't imagine because you've been battling some things. Maybe 12 years, maybe longer. You've been praying, you've been waiting, you've been believing. You've asked God to help strengthen your marriage, and you've had some good moments, but it just feels like this back and forth, and you're really not sure where it's going. You have been praying to break the chains of addiction, and you're still stuck in the same cycle. And maybe even like this woman, you've not only prayed and waited and believed, but not only have things not gotten better, things maybe have even actually gotten worse. But here's what I love about this text. Today in this text, we're going to see that before Jesus heals her, before he even speaks to her, he sees her. Here's the first thing in this text we see. Jesus sees you even in a crowd. I mean, think about this. This woman in this day, in this society, she wasn't just sick. She was isolated. She was outcast. Here's the thing. In that day and time, in that society, because she had this issue of blood, she was automatically considered unclean. And so because she was unclean, anybody who touched her would also become unclean. And if she touched anyone else, they would also become unclean. So people really wanted to have nothing to do with a person like this. 12 years. She was likely not even touched. No hugs, no embrace. We don't even know if anyone was even willing to look her in the eye or even speak to her. Maybe you felt forgotten, unseen. But Jesus sees her, and he sees you, and he's still moving today. Here's the thing that we see in this text as Mark continues to write. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, then I will be healed. There is something very special in this day and time about touch. We see so many times that Jesus would touch someone and they would be healed. Or in James 5, if anyone is sick, what should they do? Call in the elders so that they can lay hands, anoint with oil. There's something very special, very close. These miracles of Jesus, they're not just to put his power on display, but to show his presence. And that even sometimes when we can't see it and we can't see him working, it doesn't mean that he doesn't see us. And so this woman who has spent everything, she's done everything that she knew to do. She spent every dollar that she had. She's gone to see every doctor that she could find. It's not gotten better. It's just gotten worse. And if anyone had a reason to doubt, if anyone had a reason to just give up, it would have been her. Here's the second thing that we see in this text. Faith reaches when nothing else works. Have you ever been in that place where everything inside you, or at least in your mind, all of your logical reason and rationale just tells you, give up? I mean, you've tried it before. You've done this. You wanted, you know, your marriage to be strengthened. Well, maybe you should seek counsel. Oh, I've done that. I've been there. I've done that. It didn't work. And then she comes back and she reaches to Jesus, but she reaches in faith. And maybe you've been there. Your logic is telling you to give up, but there's something in your heart and in your spirit that's saying, one more time. One more time. That is faith. Because faith is not just an intellectual belief. Faith is a move. And hear me out on this. Some miracles only begin when faith begins to move. That's what we see in this story. Reading through these cards this week, I was encouraged. I mean, yes, there was card after card, so heavy. We're dealing with some real stuff in our body, real hurt, real pain, real challenges. But as I read, I also saw real faith, because we know that we have real strength in Jesus. Faith was all that she had left, and she reaches. But faith is a move. So, some of you, can I just speak to the men for just a moment? Because, man, card after card, I saw this. We do want to be better fathers. We want to be better husbands. We want to lead our families. But when it comes to faith, it takes more than just wanting and just believing. It takes a move. And so maybe your move, in a couple weeks, we're going to have a men's retreat. We have seen over the last few years men's lives changed just because they went to a retreat. And I love the stories of, I didn't want to go and I didn't plan to go, but I showed up. And they find this community, and iron sharpens iron. Sometimes it's not just wanting to be a better dad and a better father, or just wanting to be the leader of your family. It's making a move, and it's taking action. Some of you, you've been wanting to break the chains of addiction, but yet again, sometimes it takes more than just wanting. It takes a move toward Jesus, reaching to Jesus, so to speak. If that's you, we have Regen. Regeneration meets on Tuesday nights. Maybe that would be your step, your move, to join a community of Jesus followers who, yeah, we're all struggling. We all have stuff. We all have something. But we're not struggling without hope and without strength, because we have the strength of Jesus in each other. Maybe that's the move of faith that God is calling you to. It's not just understanding that Jesus sees you. It's moving towards Jesus. That's what this woman does, and this is what happens. Mark records this. Immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Here's the third thing that we see in this text. Jesus responds to faith and not just need. I love the question, "Who touched my clothes?" I don't think he was asking that question because he didn't know. I think he was asking the question because he wanted her to know, and he wanted everyone else to know. She was not just a problem to be solved. She was a daughter to be loved. Jesus saw her for who he created her to be. And he gave her identity. Here's what Mark continues to record. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. I love this. I don't know how that conversation went, but apparently she held nothing back. A woman who, based on society's rules, had everything to be ashamed of, every reason to hide. But in the presence of Jesus, she felt safe. And she told him the whole truth. Don't you just love that? He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." This is the power of faith that reaches. Now, we're not saying that the power resides in the one who reaches. The power resides in the one who we're reaching toward. He is more than able. He is willing. One of the things that we love to do here at Oak Hills is tell these stories. And I'm telling you, I can't even keep up with all of them. But my good friend Grace experienced something in her life just recently, and I asked her if she would be willing to share that. Let's hear this great testimony.
So my name is Grace Spell, and I have been a full-time missionary for 25 years. I was in Honduras with a team. We were serving with a children's home there, and we were headed to do an evangelistic outreach. We were in two vehicles. Our car, the front car, ended up losing sight of the car behind us. So we waited for them down at the bottom of the hill, and when they didn't come after several minutes, we turned around and went back up to look for them. And what we came up on after one of the turns was horrendous. The brakes had failed on that pickup truck. And the driver had one of two choices to make, either run the truck off the cliff or run the truck into the side of the mountain to stop. When we pulled up on the accident, it was immediate fear. It wasn't panic. By the looks of things, I thought that I might be performing CPR. We worked to get everybody out of the truck and into other vehicles to get them to the nearest hospital. We got to the hospital, and we had people with broken legs. We had people with broken arms. I had a team member with, after x-rays, she had a broken jaw, some broken ribs. The driver had a tremendous laceration on her forehead, and the x-ray showed that she had a broken shin. And so one of my other team members, the x-ray showed that she had a broken shin as well. She had a massive head laceration. Four of the people that were in the accident were sent by ambulance to a bigger hospital about an hour away. And when we got to this other hospital, they also took x-rays. And the first hospital's x-rays, I saw those x-rays, and the bones were broken. When we got to this next hospital, they took x-rays as well as CT scans and ultrasounds. And the orthopedic came back and said, "This leg is not broken." So between the matter of one x-ray an hour earlier and another x-ray an hour later, God knit bones back together. It was super intense and it was scary. But God had it the whole time. Even the doctors at the hospital, one of the girls overheard two doctors talking and they said to each other, there's some miracles going on here. As we begin to see God move in that hospital, it brought in this sense of peace and like this exhale that God's got it and God's got us.
That's just one story of many. Sometimes healing is instant. Sometimes healing is a process. And sometimes healing only happens on the other side of eternity. And that is not a cop-out. That is our belief, because we do not, our faith is not a belief that God will do what we want. Our faith is a belief that God will do what is right. Every time, all the time. Some of you, you're in the waiting. And God sees you and he is still moving. Just because we don't see him working doesn't mean that he doesn't see us, and it doesn't mean that he's not working. Some of you are waiting and you are not alone. Lazarus was in a grave before he came out of it. The demon-possessed man was a prisoner before he became a preacher. The paralytic was on a stretcher before he ended up in your Bibles. Everyone who encountered Jesus could almost mark time by their encounter with Jesus. There was before Jesus, and there was after. And many of us are exactly the same way. You see, some miracles begin when faith begins to move. And our faith is not based on God doing what we want. It is based on believing that he will always do what's right. We're going to do something just a little bit different today. We want to take a moment to pray over one another. And I know the introverts just got really nervous. Now, hold on a second. There was a young adult college student that was here for the first time in the last service, and she was here by herself, and I said, well, how did you feel when I said we're going to pray over each other? She said, that made me very nervous. I didn't really know how this was going to go. Well, here's how it's going to go. And by the way, you don't have to do anything that you're not comfortable with, but this is very simple. We just want to pray over each other. Maybe even pray for a miracle that each other are seeking. Because miracles aren't just something to observe. They're not just something to experience. Miracles are something that God is inviting us to participate in. And remember this, the power is not in the one who prays, but in the one who listens. So very simply, we're going to take just a moment just to ask someone right there beside you, how can I pray for you? Let them share. And then just pray over them. And if that's new to you or that makes you feel uncomfortable, please know there's going to be a prompt, a prayer prompt on the screen. And it's totally cool. It's totally okay just to read that prompt over them. The power is not in the prayer or the one who prays. The power is in the one who listens. And then you can share your prayer request with them and just let them pray over one another. But today, the body of Christ is going to pray over each other. So let's just take a moment and just pray, maybe even a miracle, maybe whatever it is that you're seeking Jesus for. This simple act of prayer is just like that woman who in faith was reaching for Jesus. Let's pray together and let's reach. And I'll bring us back in just a moment. If you're praying, I want to encourage you to continue to pray. when we pray, on the other side of our prayer is the God of the universe. These prayers are not just a wishful hope spoken into the air. On the other side of that prayer is the God of the universe, who has every resource imaginable at his disposal. There is nothing impossible with him. Father, hear these prayers. Do what only you can do. We come to you in the name of Jesus. It's his name. It's his power. It's his goodness. It's his sacrifice. The blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. We thank you. For some of you today, it's not a prayer of physical healing that you need. You've come seeking a spiritual healing. Maybe you came today and you didn't even know why you were here. You're worshiping online. And by the way, for all of you worshiping online, I want to encourage you, put a prayer in that chat right now. You can have people from all around the world praying for you. I want to encourage you to do that. But for some of you, you need spiritual healing because you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never surrendered your heart to Jesus. You've never, like this woman, reached in faith, reached out in faith toward Jesus. How do we do that? It's very simple. What we've been doing, we're just going to pray. And as we pray, if this is the first time you've ever prayed this prayer or the first time in a long time, after we pray, I want to invite you to stand right where you are. Because we want to applaud what Jesus is doing in your life. We want to cheer you on. You know what? I've never met a human being, not one time, not one human being that couldn't use more encouragement. So we want, if you're making that decision today, I want to ask you to stand, and we want to encourage you. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Jesus, I'm not perfect. For I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.